Blog Talk Radio.
Who needs to win a title more? They both need one. Is it LeBron James or Dirk Nowitzki who most needs this championship?
This is an absurd question.
It's not absurd, Skip.
It's Dirk times 10.
To shake these other teams up. It's our time, you can hang your silly dreams up. In our house, you get triple D'd up. Put your D's up. Give us our ring. We know we gotta take it, so go ahead and bring the heat. Swept the Lakers, then we took out OKC. Gave Miami game one just to keep it interesting, yeah. You're talking clutch, watch Nowitzki turn it on. Jason Kidd went 3 points long. That boy Chandler sent your field goal home. And Jason Terry just be all in his zone. Don't get it twisted, though. We be on them boards, too. Starting five real, but the bench will outscore you. And I'm sick of all this talk about LeBron. Let's talk about what happens when he finally meets Kawhi.
Who's from attacking it?
Thank you for listening to Culture Shock.
Who they want? Let's go, Mavs. Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Report. I am Beth, and I believe my friend, native of Jackson, Mississippi, in Big D right now, is on the phone also, Reggie Roughneck, and this show is strictly dedicated to the NBA Finals. Mavs, Heat, both. This is game 6. Will it end tonight? We will see, right? We're going to strictly talk about the NBA Finals unless some other sports breaking news happens during this episode. But I just want to say one thing. If you guys miss my friend, my longtime inspiration, Anthony Mark Hankins, as he presents Anthony Design Originals on HSN, you have another chance to see him tomorrow afternoon for 2 hours. So you can see Anthony tomorrow again on HSN at 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, I'm on Central Time, so when we say 2 and 3, that means, you know, 1 and what, 1 and 12 or something like that. So, you know, so be sure to catch him. And it was so amazing. You can watch ASN live on Facebook. Really, while you're on Facebook, just connect to HSN, and you can watch HSN anytime 24/7, but if you so happen you don't want to sneak a peek at his presentation, you might be, you know, I don't want to say where you might be, on the job or anywhere, you can watch him on Facebook, okay? So what it do, Roughneck?
What it do, girl? What it do?
What would be done?
The atmosphere of, you know, I was in downtown part of last night and then a good part of this morning. I had to pick up my nephew.
And you went to West End? Did you go to the West End? We were over there at the
Crown Royal Hotel.
Uh-huh.
And we were just, like I said, it's a fever pitch, and you can see it's at a boil. Everybody, like I said, everybody's still on guard. And, you know, no one's trying not to get too over the top with it. But tonight, we're all going to put it all on the line. We're just going to sit there. We're going to pull for these Mavs. We're gonna do everything we can. We want to put this to bed tonight.
You all bump into the heat. They're in Miami tonight, so everybody's in Miami. I was about to say, you bump into any Heat fans, but Game 6 is in Miami right now.
No, we ain't no Heat fans, but this is Texas. We got Heat in June all the time, so that ain't
well,
no problem.
Did they change their mind about allowing the watch party outside the AAC? Because I was just looking over some reports where fans won't be able to watch it outside the AAC building on the big screen out of fear of crowd control.
I think they're just gonna play it smart, and they're gonna keep that on.
They said they're playing it safe too.
They're gonna play it real safe because now we know
that,
the type of issues gonna be going
case,
down.
Excuse me, what were you saying?
I said we know what type of issues gonna be going down.
If the Mavs win, close it out tonight.
I-20 is never going to be the same after tonight. You know what I'm saying? The pipeline is going to be rocking. So, you know, and then on top of that, then you got the people in Cleveland and Ohio. Those fans are going to be rocking in the night. They're going to be pulling and celebrating for the Mavericks more than we are, as a matter of fact. they got a lot riding on this series. So,
I remember the owner of the Cleveland, what's his name? The Cleveland Cavaliers owners told LeBron, well, I'm going to make sure we win a championship before you do. But like you said, they're vibing with the Mavericks saying, well, still, we hope he's wishing that the Mavericks beat Miami probably.
Oh, absolutely.
Since he made that statement.
Gilbert and Cuban, they're going to be homies after this. They're going to be homeboys after this, you know. Dan Gilbert's going to like, hey, Mark, whatever you need, I got it for you. You take care of this for me. And we just.
But
we honestly,
I really do believe that that was like a last minute decision. Obviously, it was a last minute decision that LeBron had made when he made the decision to go to Miami. Because everything was all prepared for an announcement there in Cleveland. So it was a last-minute decision. All of us have a right to change our mind. Because you're talking to somebody who wanted him to come to Dallas. I think we're all not alone. We all wanted him, would have loved for him to come to Dallas.
Oh, yeah. We would love to have him here. You know, hey, I'm never gonna sit there and deny that.
I would have liked to see Well, a couple of years ago, I would have liked to see Carmelo made a decision to come to Dallas, you know.
This will have a serious impact on 2012 and, you know, the free agency period then, because my understanding, you know, numerous players are going to be ready to jump ship. And, I mean, the biggest one's going to be Dwight Howard, nonetheless. I mean, Dwight Howard might think Los Angeles might not be a better place. It might be a better fit.
Yeah, I think he's thinking about Dallas. I've been vibing there.
And I hope it's on his mind. I hope he's thinking about Dallas as well. Hey, Dwight Howard in Dallas. I mean, can you see it right now? Big billboard with the Dallas skyline and Dwight Howard with his kid between Reunion Arena and the Fountain Plate Building. Come on now. We can do this. Ooh. We can do this.
Dwight Howard, oh, my God. But, you know, really, Dallas is like the super team. I mean, when we went with, like you said, I don't want to say anything yet. But if we win the championship, we're just a super team. And just any other player like Dwight Howard or a rookie, just anybody would just definitely be an asset, just like Tyson Chandler was, you know.
Right.
Well, he was a blessing.
Exactly, because, I mean, you know, it's going to be a few guys. It's not going to be coming back next year. And, I mean, what better way to leave Dallas than to leave with a title around your ring finger. And, hey, you know, this is the business. And, hey, you know, out with the old and with some new. I mean, I would love to see some new additions coming in here that's going to make this turn into a dynasty. I mean, let's not stop on just one title.
That's good to hear. But Magic Johnson, I mean, is one that is excited, because he called the game the way you and I called it. Magic has been a big supporter of Mavs since the beginning.
Right.
What were you about to say?
I was just going to say that Magic saw what a lot of people saw. They saw a killer instinct. When they saw how we dispatched of the Lakers, Magic Johnson saw that, hey, this team is going to be hard to beat. They're going to be unstoppable. I mean, and you know, while everybody's sitting up here giving LeBron a hard time about.
This is a pep rally, y'all. This is the show we're airing right now.
Yeah.
So let's go, man.
Let us in.
And then what were you saying?
I was just saying that everybody's giving LeBron such a hard time about what he's not doing. Let's not blame it on LeBron. Let's just blame it on it's not bad performance. It's just good defense. The Mavs have closed out a lot of these games. I mean, 17-4 runs, 15-2 runs. You know, I mean, you can't blame that on one guy. I mean, that's what it was. I mean.
I know the championship is for this year, but we're talking about, that's why I tell, you know, like you said, I mean, I look at stats. I mean, what's actually done and what's stats. The stats are a recording of what's actually done. And
right.
we're talking about a team who has consecutively been a terrific team since Mark Cuban became the owner since 2000. This team has a very good record, if not the best record, annually since 2000. What they have won, 50 plus games each season since 2001. Right,
and a lot of people overlook the fact that the Mavs is one of the top five winningest teams since 2005.
Wow.
Since the last time they was in the finals. I mean, a lot of people.
The top five
winningest since 2005. I mean, I don't have the exact stats in front of me, but let's face it, the Mavs put together over 60 plus. Winning seasons, but everybody ridiculed them for what they did in the playoffs. But I mean, this team had a good nucleus going into this. And now, Tyson Chandler was like the final piece to the puzzle this year, and now look at what they're doing now. So
guys, we know some of you are listening, so we love you and do your thing tonight.
Sean Marion has made a great contribution, especially on defense. I mean, that's mainly what has helped the Mavs come through, especially this year in the playoff run. They play fantastic zone floor, on the floor defense, picking off passes, drawing charges. You saw that definitely in Game 5. That, this is a very good, talented team. And, Jason Kidd is, he's a founder of youth. You got some guys here that feel like they're overdue.
And people talk so much about Jason Kidd, but Jason Kidd, he has a lot of stamina and endurance because he plays from beginning to end. And he's playing hard and smart.
Very smart ball.
And then he made a statement last week, hey, I'm not about to retire. Even if we win the championship, he said, I'm not about to retire. We'll see, but
he might get a few more in, Hey, Rob, what the Heat was talking about, what they might do, let's see what the Mavs do. But a lot's riding on tonight because definitely this is going to tell the tale of about the finals. I mean, there's a lot of people who are hoping that this thing goes 7 games. So this has been a very, very exciting series. Definitely been one of the most exciting. Yes, go ahead.
It's play to win. Yeah, it would be exciting if it went to a game 7. But, I'm going by our predictions, you and I. And I just vibe that we're accurate tonight. But, it would be exciting to go to 7. But Dirk said he's off next week. So, sounds like they're going to close it out tonight.
Well, this is where irresistible force.
But if they close it out tonight, he's definitely not off next week. He's gonna be doing so much press and media next week.
Well, the Mavs is the irresistible force, and the immovable object is definitely gonna be the Heat tonight. So this is gonna be a street fight tonight. I'm not gonna take my eyes off TV for a second.
I know. I better not get sleepy. I won't get sleepy. Not tonight, because it's going to be too exciting.
I'm
too excited right
tonight.
Now. This is our pep rally, and I'm hyped right now.
Right. And I mean, if we pull out tonight, I will definitely be watching the replay on ESPN later on tonight. I mean, I'm going to be up all
NBA
night.
TV. NBA TV is airing Game 5 right now.
Right.
It should be
ending,
right? Yeah, it should be ending soon. So they're playing game 5. Yeah.
Mavs win. I'm going to be up like 7-11 tonight, but I'm just not going outside because if they win, it's going to be pandemonium. So I'm playing safe to stay in on this one. I get us a few more days of marinate before I come back out and stick my head out like, is it okay?
Then there's the parade.
He's 160 on you tonight. I mean, I wouldn't make a guy like that mad at me. You know, like, we remember we was talking about Reggie Miller, how Reggie Miller just
really
went off on the Knicks when Spike kept jawing with him. You know, I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah, the more you make somebody mad, the better they play.
Yeah, some people it's not good to do that. And a big, tall, separate white guy that can dunk on you and shoot three, I would not be trying to piss him off. That's not good wisdom. I mean, you know, these people in Dallas would just, they're going to really be, it's good that they have these last two games in Miami, because if they came back after that one, that would have definitely been a problem.
Wow.
He's been throwing NyQuil at him or something, you know? So, but we going to be reaching out to them. And
That's why we're
going to be reaching out down to Miami. They got their American Airlines Center like we do, so, hey, we taking that. Tonight, we taking it.
We've been taking over.
We're foreclosing on their arena tonight. You're foreclosing on everything.
Well, the American Airlines Center in Miami, is that they're not going to let them watch it on the big screen TV outside the one in Miami either? Will they let the people watch it on the outside while the game going on?
Honestly, I mean, as far as Miami, I mean, they're going to be pretty much ensconced in trying to save this series. There's a desperation in Miami that they don't want to go down eating their words and then losing on their own home court. Because guess what? The Mavs' motivation is, hey, they beat us in our home court and closed it out. We owe them.
Exactly.
You know, they closed us out on our home court. So, yeah, we do owe them that. So there's a lot of motivation behind this game.
So it's time to pay back, huh?
It's payback time.
See, Don't say they've never been paid back, huh?
Let me get like that.
You know how
Brown.
People say, well, they didn't pay me back. Well, we're paying them back now, huh?
Yeah, it's payback time. With interest. Yes, ma'am.
But I was just thinking, you know, no team wants to lose on their home turf, but they have no choice.
No, I mean that's like someone coming over your house and beating the hell out of you in your living room, and then just going in your refrigerator, getting your whatever, and just leaving. You know?
Yeah.
No one likes to get humiliated like that.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
That's what this would be like.
But this is so high.
Hey, we are up there, right?
We're on the air, so I want to make sure,
because I didn't want to let a cuss word slip out of some.
After the big win, I know I need to rate it for mature.
because even I think when
I'm hosting alone, I even have to watch it because I be like, you know, especially when we're talking about sports. And so when you and I talking, I mean, people know sports fans' language. I mean, even kids have their own sports language. They might not use the curse words, but they have their own words that are no-no.
I'm going to give you a clean version of what you mean by sports talk language. I was talking to one of my homeboys that lived up in Rochester, New York, during game two, right? We were going back and forth texting, talking about the last few minutes of that game. And I just said, when they went down, like, they were getting down about close to 15, that's when I made a paraphrase to a guy getting taken in the shower at the penitentiary. I said, the man ain't got to go out like no jailhouse trick, right? And I said,
we use a lot of metaphors. The metaphors are very exciting.
Right. hey, this is a metaphor of the year. So I still got all that on my text message. I might text it back to you. But anyway, I use that metaphor, and then I said the man's going to have to man up and come back swinging because nobody's going to be the jailhouse trick tonight. And the man, and no sooner I said that, it looked like all of a sudden the man looked up like, huh? Did he say that? And they said, you know, they took a timeout, and they came back next
to
you.
That was when Jason Kidd said timeout.
Yeah. And that's when they just, next thing I know,
Mom and I was on the TV screen then.
And then Doug hit two, and then all of a sudden, Jason Kidd, give me the ball. I want to get one on this. And I mean,
yeah, Jason Kidd was like, wait a second. It was like, what was it? Like 7.7 seconds
yeah,
left.
All of a sudden, it went from 15 down to 8 in less than a minute. I'm like, oh, snap now. Oh, look out now. I got folks started. Well, I said something now. I said, I think they heard me. Next thing you know, it went from 8 down to 5. I'm like, oh, and to sit up here and, you know, making all these comparisons. You cannot compare Kobe Bryant to Michael Jordan. You can't compare LeBron to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was a supernatural phenomenon that comes along every two, three decades, you know.
Uh-huh.
Michael Jordan was dominant like Bill Russell was dominant, you know. And then the fact that this man three-peated, took two seasons off, and then three-peated again.
Exactly.
You know,
plus played minor league baseball.
You can't stop that. You got to come up with something better, you know. Now, like I said, the only thing LeBron can do to outdo Jordan is to possibly win three straight and then turn around and go back to Cleveland and win three straight with Cleveland. That's about the best thing he can do. And he has time, you know. He has time to turn that curve, you know, because let's face it, there was a lot of other players that was given that tag of choking and not going to ever succeed. I mean, look how long John Elway persevered, you know.
Oh, look yeah, long, I've been thinking about him.
Look at how long Peyton Manning was branded the GOAT of the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility. You know that it can happen. But then, what if eventually happens? You catch it at the right time, and next thing you know, it can be success. I mean, this business is made that way.
Wow.
But,
excuse me.
You know, there's a lot of teams going in there, you know, and a lot of ways. This is what I mean when I'm talking about the Mavs. You got a lot of guys that got denied. They're overdue. They wanted to. I mean, Chandler wants it just as bad. Dirk definitely wants it. Kidd wants it. You know, Chase and Terry. I mean, we got some guys who, you know,
unappreciated. One thing about it, they definitely, the whole team has definitely been working. So whomever have been warming the bench, even the bench warmers want it. You know, but really,
nice.
That team utilizes most of their players. I think during this season and playoffs, I think they have. Because I've heard them say, right here's Sauce one on his court. When are we seeing him?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Mavericks are definitely utilizing their players.
Exactly. Because, I mean, Cardinal, he goes out there and he plays the role to the every car and play the crash dummy commercial. And he just see a guy driving down, and there he is, you know. Cardinal does a great job of, bust a three, get a couple of free throws. Dirk come back after a good break, and then Dirk like, I got it. And then there you go.
I say teamwork, that's what's important. That's why, you know, I don't know how the players really feel about, the NFL players feel about if they add extra games to their season. Then I thought about it, well, if they did, people talk about extra work on the players, well, just utilize some of more of the players. The ones that really don't play a lot, give them opportunity. Because they don't play, just because players don't play a lot don't mean they're not good players.
I don't think the players really had a problem with it. The only problem the players had was that, okay, if you're going to add a couple of games on to the season, you got to beef up them contracts. I mean,
yeah, and they're concerned about injuries.
Right. You know, you're not going to sit there and pimp them by adding two more games on there, then, of course, you still got the playoffs to play. And, you know, then all of a sudden they start thinking, like, we got that in the playoffs. And then, you know, a couple of guys start screaming like Jim Moore talking about, playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
Playoffs? Are you kidding me? Playoffs? So,
wow.
What's going to happen that's going to make them have to get more reserves, they're going to add more in the rotation, because you got to keep these guys, you know, you got to.